Good day, ladies and gents. You are listening to Recovery 101 Masterpiece Radio. This program is based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more so like having a coffee and chatting about various crap afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. That's right, folks. Another show is here brimming over with recovery. So remember, we used to suffer from insanity, but now we do so enjoy it. So please sit back, relax, partake, and thank you so much for your support, likes, and comments at recovery101.net. It's listeners like you that keep us in the garage and off the blues.
Thank you to Lori Faith for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAO, ACA, GAPA, SLA, SLA, ACR, RR, MM, DRA, HA, SMART, or any of them. They're guys. We also don't speak for any of the Anons. That's that. The alphabet soup of recovery. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with...
Shelley.
Hansen. Hamster. Hamza.
Handsome
Hamza.
Handsome Hamza.
Handsome Hamza, yeah.
Special guest star Hamza. Mark is praying at the Church of Football, I think.
No, Mark quit.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So, we've been imbibing the hookah. By the way, Recovery 101's hookah today provided by Cafe X2O,
Glendora,
California, on the corner of Grand and Route 66. A fabulous place to go to coffee after a meeting, I'm telling you. And if you were to go there, you would find the three people on this show right now would probably be, and the peanut gallery would probably be there.
Every night.
No, not every night for me.
So seriously, if you like, if you want to be on a patio that's a smoking patio, you can smoke cigarettes, you can smoke cigars, you can get a hookah. They make really good coffee.
Make good sandwiches.
They make
awesome
good
food. Yeah, awesome food.
Cafe X2O, Glendora, California.
Hey, you gotta tell Joey about this skit right now.
And matter of fact, if you happen to hear this show and you go to Cafe X2O,
tell him Bruce.
Tell him you heard it on Recovery 101 Radio.
Yeah.
Tell him Bruce
get a free
sent
coffee.
You. You don't even have to say Bruce sent you. Just say you heard about it on Recovery 101 Radio. He's gonna be like, I don't remember paying for advertising. I'm like, you haven't.
Yet.
Actually, we need a bunch of people to go in there and say, hey, I heard it on a Recovery 101 radio show.
I'll do it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it, too. Oh, wait. I can't.
I heard myself say it on.
So, Shelley.
What?
How you doing?
I'm not dead yet.
That's good. No, that's true. You're still here.
As long as you're not underground, there's always a chance.
What is the hookah du jour? What are we smoking?
Well, we finished up with Pirate's Cave, and now we're doing what?
Safari Melon Dew.
Safari Melon Dew. It's like honeydew melon flavor or something. So there you go. Fortunately for me, I never smoked weed in a hookah. Well, actually, that's not true. I did smoke weed in a hookah now that I think about it. But I don't ever associate the two. I really don't.
I associate with the bubbling.
We only did it like once or twice with a hookah.
The last show I was kind of putting
because
the mic up to the
like
bubbles.
Because it seemed like it was a really good idea, but it really wasn't. Because we were using lighters and things. We don't use coals like what they use at these things. And so you use lighters, and when you're done, there's like this gigantic volcano of smoke coming off the top.
No, it's wasting it.
Yeah. So people were getting funnels. Oh, that's, we're romancing. That's
yeah, I was just about to shut you down there. But
that's happening a lot with me on the
I
show.
Since I wasn't really sure what you were talking about.
Yeah, it's Hamza's fault.
It's bringing in a newcomer. That's the problem. How much time do you have now?
I'm going to have 6 months on the 3rd of February.
Half a cake, baby.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have a half a cake.
Half a cake.
Awesome.
Is she going to make you
so
one?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm going to show humility that way.
No. Let me tell you what showing humility is. So when I got 20 years... You know, people buy you, like, these chips and everything. So Shelly buys me a chip. And I go to have this chip, and it is, it says one day.
No, it says 24 hours.
It says 24 hours. She goes, because that's all you have. I'm like, ow.
Damn.
Mike, you should light the side of that cigar.
Very strange ash going on
there
with
you
your
got
cigar.
A,
but no,
you have a weird ash.
It's a pretty nice cigar.
You've
I mean,
got
the ash
a weird
is still
ash
on it.
We like your
ash. Okay, can we...
The ladies tell me I have a nice ash.
Okay, the show is really getting annoying for the listener, I think, right about now.
Well, you know what that means. It's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. That didn't really work.
There. It never works with me.
Not so much.
Hey, practice.
We'll hear
progress, not perfection. Loophole.
You went too low.
Oh, did I?
That is the weirdest ash ever on that cigar.
Let's see.
That is kind of odd. It might have been too wet, like I said.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
Okay, we're done talking about his ash.
I have a nice ash.
Not as nice as mine.
We have shout-outs to Heather, Bill, Carol, Howard, John, Damon, Elizabeth, Kathy, Phil K., Georgette, Joey, Katie, Uck, Phil M., Deborah, Stryker, Jack, and Randy. Thank you for listening. And thank all of you for listening. And if you would like a shout-out, go to recovery101.net and let us know.
Hey, can you
Go comment or like or follow and stuff, and we'll see you there.
Okay, now let me scroll down to where we left off here.
Easy.
Okay.
Easy.
This happened in Sentinel, Oklahoma. This was like
Oklahoma,
where the winds come sweeping down the plains. This falls under the category of holy crap, that was really stupid. And you almost died.
Does it start out with here, hold my beer?
No.
Here, hold my
cock. Starts out with a gun enthusiast named Dallas Horton. Now, you know, this is just an average guy. He collects and owns guns and stuff. His name's Dallas. His house has got a bunch of signs up that says, you know, warning zombies inside and stuff like that. He accidentally, almost fatally shot Police Chief Lewis Ross. He did not know that his home was about to be raided. And bang, 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 there was a lot of commotion. He didn't know what was going on. Flies open.
Oh, so he's thinking it's people like
home invasion
yes, robbery.
He thought it was a home invasion. Door flies open, and he just fires off three rounds right into the police chief's chest.
Now, is he wearing body armor?
He was wearing body armor, but one of them nicked an artery in his shoulder, and he almost bled out. And he's got some serious bruising, contusions to his chest, that kind of thing. Somebody in the gallery needs to stop eating beans.
Wow, that was a really... they probably didn't hear it on the air. That was a really loud fart.
It's kind of wet, too.
Yeah, it was wet.
Okay, this is getting gross. Like, can we go back to the police chief that almost died?
Why are they called a peanut?
So
A bunch of peanuts.
We'll explain it later. Jeez, this show has gone downhill. Seriously, I'm going to start doing the SmackDown here. Anyway, the homeowner who almost killed the police, Dallas Horton, who almost killed the police chief, was thrown on the ground, obviously. Police stormed his house.
He's lucky he didn't get shot.
Yeah. Police stormed his house. He was immediately disarmed. When he realized that they were cops, he immediately put down the weapon.
He was white, right?
Yeah.
He would. That's
now,
why.
Here's the thing.
Could be.
Here's the thing.
I mean, come on. If somebody else had a gun a cop.
Can I?
Okay, sorry.
Here's
why
he's not dead or in jail. He's not even charged with a crime.
Oh, shit. See?
The reason for that is because... No. The police chief actually is black. And the guy who shot him was white. But that's not the point.
Okay, what's the point?
Sorry, I don't mean to cuss. The point is they raided the wrong house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oops.
Went blazing in, guns drawn... Busted down the door. They had the wrong house. So, of course, the homeowners are going to think, oh, my gosh, I'm being invaded. Because he hadn't done anything wrong. He hadn't broken any laws. So he hasn't been charged because it was clearly he thought he was in imminent peril. So
I have a short story.
I'm sure you
do. When I lived in Oregon, we lived above. There was four apartments above a TV repair shop. There was... two apartments across from each other, and down the hallway, two more apartments. So one time, we hear all this commotion, and we don't know what's going on. We hear all this commotion, and we go to go out in the hallway, and the cops are like, stay in your place. So we're like, okay. About an hour later, our neighbor from across the way comes over and tells them, dude, I totally got raided. And we're like, oh, you did? And he goes, yeah, I totally got raided. He goes, yeah, they were looking for you guys. And we're like, what? And he goes, I think they went to go get a search warrant for your apartment. Thinking quickly, we said, can we bring all our shit over to your apartment? He goes, sure. So we take all our stuff over. The cops came to raid us. Dude, they were really pissed because there was nothing. Now, there was a bunch of magazines with the corners cut out because we had been making bindles. And the cop's like, what are this? And I'm like, I'm an art major. I was making a paper mache thing. And they're like, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. But we did not. We didn't get caught with anything. It was awesome. We moved right after that.
Good luck. Well, anyway, the police chief who was shot, he is in serious condition, but he is expected to fully recover from his injuries.
Oh, well, good for him.
Yes. Okay, geez, this is taking forever. Holy crap. I do apologize to our listeners for all of this falderal. This is not the question and answer portion of the program. I'm moving on to the next story. This happened in Pomona, California.
Right around the corner.
About 5 minutes from here.
We're in Laguna Beach.
No, okay. Sal Landeros, that's the name of the guy, he actually lives in Montclair. He was driving through
Montclair
in Pomona. There was a car wash. His car needed to be washed, so he went through the car wash.
Working
he gets
at
home.
The car wash, yeah.
He gets home. He gets out of his car, and he hears tap, 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 bang, bang, bang from his trunk.
What?
So, and he thought, I don't know what the heck is in my trunk. He gets his son, Chris. They go out and they open the trunk a crack and they see human eyeballs. So they slam the trunk lid shut because they don't know who's in there or what's going on. Oh, and they call the police.
The cops come
out. They surround the car. They've got tasers. Their guns are drawn or whatever. It was actually captured on video. His other son captured it on video. They open the trunk. This guy climbs out. He's very happy to be out of the trunk.
I'll bet he is.
Possibly under the influence, although that doesn't the results of his test are not in the story. He said he was sorry for jumping into the guy's trunk inside the car wash, but he was being chased by people who said that he owed them money.
Oh, yeah. This is a crackhead.
And he needed to get away.
This is a crackhead for sure. Especially in Pomona.
Now, he happened to also...
You know where the car washes in Pomona are? They're on Holt.
And this says it was this happened at the Tuzos car wash.
Holt. Well, Holt in Pomona is the crack central of Southern California, or one of them.
Prostitute central, too.
I wouldn't know about that.
Hamza, I don't know about it either.
Hamza apparently thinks it's prostitute central.
I have this buddy Nathan. He needed to lose his virginity this one time, and I took him there.
Oh.
Okay,
ouch.
I'll have to do that one last.
Ouch.
No, wait, what?
I was a second.
Oh, this is a good one. This happened in Germany.
Achtung, baby.
There was a police alert to the Munich station Thursday. Because people thought there was a terrorist running around the train station.
They saw Hamza.
No. no, what it was an 18-year-old who was wearing a white towel wrapped around his head, and he was carrying a sword on his back and running through the station. The police captured him. He said he was a shinobi ninja.
With a towel.
With a towel on his head. But the whole thing, he was trying to catch his train so that he could go and engage in his cosplay card game with his other nerdy friends. And the theme of the day was ninjas. Now, he's wearing a white towel on his head and carrying a wooden sword.
I don't
He's
see
really
how
not
that's
a hardcore ninja.
And not even a hardcore terrorist. Come on.
I know, but...
that's what I'm saying.
We were sitting,
I know hardcore terrorists. No,
we,
okay.
were sitting, we were sitting... We were sitting at the cafe today, and I'm looking out, and there's this guy sitting out there, and he's wearing camouflage pants. This guy's probably 30 years old.
Oh, yes.
He's got camouflage pants on. He has a Davy Crockett fuzzy furry hat on. His friend is wearing a Game of Thrones T-shirt, and we're sitting there, and we're like, wow, those guys are, like, totally nerdy. And then these two other guys walk up that are nerdier than them, and we're like,
They had gone to the airport gift shop or whatever to buy balsa wood gliders, yes. And they were carrying walkie-talkies.
Oh, yeah.
Now, and it was like the Big Bang Theory show. I mean, the four guys from this. But the thing is, I'm looking at these kids. Yeah, but I'm looking at these kids, and I'm laughing because they're not kids, but I'm laughing because they look so geek-tastic. And then I thought, they are going to make more money than I will ever see in my lifetime
right,
in a year.
They're definitely geeks.
Yes.
I don't think
so
they were
why
nerds.
Am I laughing?
I think they were geeks. Geek squad. Geeks have high potential for earning.
Actually, they might not. They might think their way out of every single opportunity.
That's possible as well.
You got to be like mediocre, like on both ends.
You got to be teachable.
Teachable, yeah.
In Hamilton County, I think that's in Ohio. But
yeah, I think it's Ohio, too.
Man and a woman facing felony drug conveyance charges. He was in jail already, and she went to visit him. And now normally you can't bring or send printed material into a jail at all. I mean, the things that you can send to a jail are extremely limited. And books and magazines and stuff like that are not allowed. They provide the stuff for the inmates themselves. And I know that from firsthand experience because a friend of ours was in jail and he wanted a Bible and they wouldn't let me send it to him, but I was told I could send up to 5 pages at a time, but they would have to scan them, which is what they did. And I've got a Bible in there. It's got a ton of pages missing because I did that for like 6 months. She took a Bible into him. The only exception in most jails are religious materials. You can take Bibles and Torahs and Qurans and things into the jail and give it to him.
That was a nice accent to that.
Was it?
Yeah,
did it do it right?
It good, really
because
good.
I asked a long time ago how that was pronounced. Thank you very much because, you know.
I recognized.
Quran. Yes.
Quran.
Well, it's spelled Q-U-R-A-N.
Quran. Mm. Is that right?
Yes.
Quran.
Anyway.
You're getting there.
Quran.
This Bible, right in the smack in the middle of the Book of Daniel, it looked like a coffee stain about the size of a half dollar on the page. It was heroin. They said it was probably enough for about 40 hits.
Wow.
Yeah. So now both of them are in jail.
Look like a coffee stain.
Yeah.
Awesome. Nice try, guys.
Well, I heard that they
can
do stuff.
You'd think it was pretty smart, except for the fact they got caught.
Yeah.
They got caught, yeah.
And now they're all in jail together trying to get their heroin fix.
In Mozambique, Africa.
Oh, my God.
This is actually a sad story.
Oh.
At a funeral, 71 people were killed and 200 others were sent to the hospital at a funeral. This happened at a funeral.
Wait, how many people were killed?
71.
Wow.
What happened? There's a local brew that they make for like special occasions or whatever. What is it called? Fombe.
Oduels.
It's called Fombe. It's made from sorghum corn and sugar. It's just a fermented drink that the people have made for generations. I mean, it's a very common drink that they drink at like weddings and funerals and occasions like that. This particular Fombe was a little bit funky. It was very contaminated and they don't know what with yet. But it killed 71 people and made 200 people sick enough, and some of them were in critical condition.
You know, the only ones that made it are the AA people.
Definitely.
The AA people are like, see, look at all you guys. That's what you get for drinking.
It might be just a fermented drink with not that much alcohol, but I'm not risking my life.
Yeah, there you go.
And it paid off.
There you go.
So they've sent the remains of the brew to a laboratory for testing, so I'm sure we will hear more about this later.
They're like, hey, Fred, come over here, drink this.
But like, they were at a funeral burying one person, and now they had to do a mass funeral
for 71
people. Is that
your African accent?
No, that's my redneck. That's my redneck accent.
Redneck. Okay, now I'm going to go back up to the other story.
Here, hold my beer. That's how every great fail video starts. Hold my beer.
Here, hold my beer. Okay. At Target, a Target store in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Target.
Now, you can actually go and see the picture of this. I thought it was hysterically funny. You know, they do like little marketing ploys and stuff like that to try to get you to buy stuff. And one of the most common ones they'll do is they put a new product or a new product line on those end caps on the shelves with a big sign that says, check this out.
Right.
So they had one of those little end cap things. Said check, big huge sign. Check this out, with a little arrow pointing down, and it's right next to the shelves where they have kids' toothbrushes and those little bubblegum toothpaste and, you know, bath aids for kids and stuff like that.
Or something.
What it was four shelves worth of branded merchandising for the film 50 Shades of Grey. And it wasn't just books. It wasn't just, you know, little soundtrack for the movie or what. It wasn't stuff like that. No. What they are selling at Target with the 50 Shades of Grey logo on it are special logo lotions and vibrating rings.
Oh,
that
yeah.
go around the male member.
What Target?
Every Target?
Every Target.
I don't know if it's every Target, but it was definitely Tulsa, Oklahoma, because I saw the picture.
Gee, if they got them in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they got to have them here.
So they've got vibrating cock rings, warming lotions, blindfolds.
Next to the kids'
everything a five-year-old needs.
And bubble bath, yeah.
They're like, honey, go get that Flintstones toothpaste you like so much. Hey, Mom, what's this? Look at this thing. It's round. It vibrates. I like it.
Can I get it? It's a cool ring, Mom.
Yeah.
It's
kind of a big ring, though, Mom.
It vibrates, and it's like it lights up, and it's...
They also had blindfolds, whips, and chains.
At Target.
I got to see this movie.
What? I don't know. It doesn't say handcuffs, but there may have been. I saw the picture of it, and I'm like... Mm-hmm. And there were even, like, other marital aids in... cylindrical shaped boxes.
Wow.
At Target, at next Target. To the kids' toothbrushes.
Tarjay at its best.
Mom, this toothbrush is really nice. Yeah, this. Mom, this is a strange toothbrush, Mom, but it's got this extra attachment comes up. They call it the rabbit. I think it massages your gums.
I don't know where the bristles are, but.
The funny
it doesn't
thing
brush
is,
the teeth very good, though.
Now, the guy that wrote this article about the thing at Target, the picture of the thing was taken by a mother that she posted it on Instagram and said, really, Target, you might want to rethink your merchandising. And he saw that, interviewed the mom, and went to the Target and saw it and everything. The funny thing was, he said, in the story, he said, did you learn nothing from plight? You need to shush. You can't ask questions when we're talking. Unless it's about what we're talking about. Now, see, you've thrown me off here. The writer said, did you learn nothing from the Play-Doh fiasco, Target?
What Play-Doh
now, you may not, none of you may know about the Play-Doh fiasco.
I do
but
not know. The Play-Doh
at Christmas
fiasco.
Time, Play-Doh put out a new
oh,
set
I know the Play-Doh. Yeah.
of extruders that you put the Play-Doh in.
It's
you know,
insane.
Oh,
push Play-Doh.
Yeah. I thought you said Play-Doh.
No.
Like the
philosopher.
Yeah, like the philosopher.
No.
I'm like, what did Play-Doh do? Play-Doh?
Doh.
Okay, Play-Doh.
They put out a new
set for Christmas that had, like, new funky little extruders. You know, you make little shapes with the Play-Doh. You push it out of the end thing. One of the extruders, when you took the bottom part out of it, looked exactly like a penis.
Well, it's the Crayola, so you get to make, like, the crayons. And the crayon shape is a
and
dildo
it even had, like, little veiny things in it. And at the top.
Oh, yeah, you know.
And the Play-Doh comes out of the tip of the device. I mean,
it's funny.
Oh, my
so
God.
Then mothers started complaining about it, and Play-Doh, is it Mattel or Kenner? Mattel, is it Mattel? Immediately removed the product from shelves.
Well, how about, Shelley? Tell them about the Harry Potter broom.
Well, we did this a long time ago when Harry Potter, the fourth movie came out?
Fifth movie, whatever it was.
Mattel came out with the Harry Potter vibrating Quidditch broom.
So, like, when you'd ride it, it would be like
it would vibrate.
You were really riding.
Like, you were really riding a broom. But then so many teenage girls stole their little sister's
vibrating brooms
that moms started wondering what the heck was going on. And they found out that the teenage girls were using it for a purpose for which it was not intended. Basically, they sold a bunch of moms' vibrators for their five-year-olds.
Yeah. Way to go.
16-year-olds. Can I borrow that broom? I'd like to ride around my room a few times.
Mommy, she had it all day. She kept it all night.
Mom, she's she's riding my broom again.
Mom, she rode my broom so much she broke it.
She's not doing anything. She's just laying in bed with it.
All right. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news. The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back.
Gavin.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to the same old place that you laughed about. Shelly. Hi.
Hey.
We have a topic.
We do. Hamza had the topic.
Hamza.
You introduce it.
Hanson. Hamza.
I forgot Potter. The topic. No, I'm just kidding. One day at a time.
And how would you like to approach this topic?
Well, I went to something yesterday, and it kind of put it in perspective for me. And I actually watched a movie about it. It's kind of, you know, The Secret? Have you ever seen that?
I have.
Okay, well.
Well, I've seen the first 20 minutes of it or whatever.
Well, that being said, I know it's frowned upon to kind of overthink the future and to just kind of stay in today. And I see a lot of problems in that. Kind of disagree in being one day at a time with no kind of a further goal.
Well, is the one day at a time not having a further goal?
Or I think some people take it that way.
Achieving that goal one day at a time.
Okay, I think some people take it too literally.
What do you think, Shelly?
I definitely did.
People think one day at a time too literally?
I think sometimes they can because they don't. They say, well, just for today, all I have to do is stay sober. Well,
true.
That's great, but you still have to think about the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? And you have. The way I read one day at a time is you're not living in the future, but the actions that you take today affect your future. So you may be living one day at a time, but you're living for. You're setting in motion things, positive things that will happen in the future.
Well, we always find people that have a hard time with the one day at a time when they first get here. They're like, you know, staying today, you know, like, because when people come in, their lives are usually pretty jacked up or they wouldn't be here. And, you know, they sit there and they go, you mean I got to stay sober for the rest of my life forever? And it's like, it's too much for them to handle. They're like, oh my God. They're like, I'll tell you what, could you stay sober for today? I might be able to do that. Oh, well, let's worry about today. If you can stay sober today, that's all you really need to get. And then when tomorrow comes, if you can stay sober for today, that would be good. Me, I didn't really have a problem with thinking about things one day at a time because that's exactly how I got loaded.
Mm-hmm.
I never bought drugs for tomorrow. I bought drugs for right now. And then when tomorrow came, I figured out how to get drugs for right then. And I did that every day. I never planned my dope using out way ahead of time. I mean, when I was relatively new, I probably did. I said, hey, we're going to a concert this weekend. Hey, let's get some weed. Let's get some drugs. But you know what? Even then, we smoked half of it before you know we ever went to the concert.
I needed to re-up before.
Yeah, we needed to.
Well, see, I saw this kind of like different view about it because I took it too literal, and I kind of assumed that you just kind of let God take the wheel or whatever the saying is, like God
Jesus
take over.
Jesus take the wheel.
Carrie
Underwood.
For me, for me, it just kind of took all the responsibility off of you, you know? It's kind of like the whole, like, faith without work is dead. So what I heard yesterday was that you got to see life as kind of like driving a car, you know, in pitch black area. The lights, the headlights kind of reveal just enough for you to drive. And right. You know your destination.
Right.
But that's all you need, just the couple of feet forward, and that's how you kind of navigate to your destination, you know?
Right.
You don't know everything that's going to happen, but you definitely need to have a destination. You know, I didn't come into sobriety thinking that it was just going to happen for me, like, instantly. I knew that there's going to be work for me to do, and without that in my mind...
Inventory.
Yeah, I got to do my inventory.
Oh.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get you. And I think, and I don't know that it's really that different. You know, knowing what the end goal is and achieving it, you know, piecemeal. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is, anybody that tries to achieve an end goal by, you know, trying to do it all at once, it never really works. You got to do things piecemeal. You got to build things up. The same with recovery. You do your steps one at a time, you know. Anybody that sits there and goes, well, the goal is to do the 12 steps, so I'm going to do 1 through 6, you know, this week. And you know what happens? You get to your inventory, and it takes you weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and
months.
You're like, oh, now I feel like a failure because I didn't get it done the way I thought I would. And what do you think, Shelly?
I don't know. I think
epic pause.
For me, because I have so much, I usually typically have way too much going on at any one time. I can get overwhelmed really easily.
Yeah.
Thinking about, well, I can't get all this done today. What about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? If I do that, then I end up just doing nothing because I'm too overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to, one day at a time, break things down into smaller chunks. Say, what can I do today? If I can't do this, what can I do today? And just focus on getting that done today. So that tomorrow I will have less hanging over my head. But the whole concept of one day at a time in terms of my sobriety didn't really work for me. Because I would say to myself, well, I'm going to drink tomorrow. And then I'd get up the next day and I'd drink. Because I tried that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that didn't work.
Yeah,
for
wait
me.
Till tomorrow to have a drink. And then you actually waited and took your
yeah,
drink.
That was my reward. Well, I waited a day. Now I get to drink. You know, for me, that didn't work. So I had to do the, okay, I will drink no more forever. You know, the Chief Seattle thing. I can't operate that way.
That kind of makes me like more accountable to myself.
Well, we do a thing at my work. You know, I own a store. We deliver mattresses. Clearly, you're telling a customer, we're going to deliver this for you next week. Now, clearly that is something in the future, but we're scheduling it today.
Yeah.
And today is the day we schedule it. Then on the day the delivery comes, we do that delivery that day. But I don't spend the rest of the week worrying about that delivery because I set it up the one day. It's going to happen on another day, and when we get to that day, that's when it happens. You know, so maybe it's something, you know, relatively like that. You know, having your end goal in sight. And working towards it. A really good example of that is school.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
your
exactly.
Your end game is to graduate school. Now, every day you go to class, and every day you are working on your day's work for class.
Mm-hmm.
It eventually gets you where you want to go. But it's like you can't, you know, if you go in and try and do like a week's worth of stuff at a time.
You're going to be overwhelmed.
It doesn't work. Yeah, you're overwhelmed. It doesn't work as good as if you go to class this day. Writing a term paper. Now, I have written a term paper in a day. Matter of fact, I've done that lots of times. But the whole idea of the building up to the term paper, the reason why they give you like 5 weeks to do a term paper is, you go day one, you go to the library, you go wherever, you go on the internet, you start looking up your sources, and you start, and then you, on another day, you write your outline, and then on another day, you start to write parts of it, and then at the end, it's all assembled into this paper. But you really achieved the paper. It's a 5-week paper, but you achieved it one day at a time.
Yeah.
Put one foot in front of the other.
See, I just think it can be too crippling for people. Like to, I think it's like a cop-out in a sense. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can just like rest on and use it as an excuse of why you did something. But for me, it's... I've seen it too many times already in my short 6 months here, where one day at a time was just an excuse not to live their life, not to be active in sobriety or just actual life. You know, I understand putting your recovery first, but you put it first, and then there's so many more effing hours into the day. You know,
well,
so much more things to get done.
And we've talked about that a few times on the show, where one of the reasons and benefits of getting sober is so that you can live a life that you
exactly
didn't used to have. A real common thing with the one day at a time that pops up, I've seen it pop up many times, is you have a family and dad has gone out drinking every night. He's drinking one day at a time. You never see him. Mm-hmm. You know, he comes home late, you know, it's all this stuff. Then he gets sober. He goes to a meeting every night. He goes to coffee after the meeting. You still don't see him.
Mm-hmm.
One day at a time, you know. But, you know, I think there's a difference between kind of the things we're talking about or that I've been talking about and what you're talking about, in that obviously your goal is to graduate, you go to school every day, blah, blah, blah. But then there's the people that look at school and they go, oh, my God, I've got to take 40 credits of this. I don't know how I'm ever going to be able to do that. Instead of saying, well, you're only taking 3 classes at a time or
exactly
4 classes at a time, you can do that.
See, my thing is that those people that are concentrating on the 3 classes that kind of overemphasize those 3 classes and kind of take themselves away from the rest of their life, like take themselves away from their family, make the excuse that I'm working on this, I'm working on that, there's a term paper due here, there's a, you know, all this stuff, and it just becomes their excuse to kind of be absent in life some more, you know?
Yeah, and maybe there's a distinction
mm-hmm
between I'm staying sober the rest of my life, oh my God, that's too much for me to handle, so I need to do that one day at a time, when there's clearly other things that require planning.
Yes, yes.
You know, I'm going on a vacation next summer. Well, you know what? You got to kind of think about that ahead of time, and you've got to request time off. You got to have the time off school. You got to do all these things. Now, literally, all those parts, you're still going to do one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this always struck me strange about the one day at a time, I can't do things more than one day at a time. I can't, you know, because I'm in today. I'm only, this is, you know, tomorrow hasn't happened yet. You know, I'm only in today. I can only do things today. It's the only day I can, because yesterday's gone and tomorrow hasn't happened yet. Today is the only day I can even do anything. Whether it's sobriety, whether it's school, whether it's whatever, it still becomes one day at a time.
Yeah, see, I hear a lot of people saying that it just creates too much anxiety to think about these things. And I think it's just a part of living life, you know. It's a necessary part to kind of have those end goals and be active in your life and your sobriety and everything like that. The whole, what I think the useful part about one day at a time is the fact that you can think about things in small chunks. You can think about things for every 20 feet or every single day. You can break down big goals into these things, but it's not to focus only on one thing or not to have any goals at all, you know?
What do you think, Shelley? Let's say there's a big project coming up at the library.
Yeah, and?
How do you, and it's not here yet, and it's coming. How do you plan for it?
How does one day at a time help you?
Well, first you have to create a project plan and outline all the steps that you need to take, and then come up with a timeline for when those steps are going to get done. But then once the timeline's in place and once the list is in place and we know what materials we need and everything, then we just do one part of the project at a time
mm-hmm
each day.
Now, with recovery, that's the
same
steps.
Same thing.
That's the steps. You know what? The goal is to work all 12 steps. We don't work them, all over this time. You work one step, And you know what? It's like project plans are like a recipe. And we used to talk about this. Recipes work really good when you do everything in order, right? So the recipe of recovery is you work step one, then you work step two, three, four, five, six in order. Because recipe doesn't work so good if you bake the cake before you mix it. So you take the box of cake mix and you stick it in the oven and you cook it. It doesn't do very well.
Or you just don't cook it at all.
It's
you
kind
take
of like people that get really excited about recovery. They're like, I'm going to start doing step nine. It's like, bro, no, you're not.
That was me the first time.
Yeah. How'd that work out?
It didn't work out. I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
I pissed more people off than I.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. Shelly, do you ever had a sponsor you want to work things out of order?
No.
Really?
I've had a lot of sponsors.
Wanted to work them out of order that. Well, you had a sponsee that just went gung-ho.
I had a couple, yeah. And they started at the beginning. Although I did have one of my sponsees actually had already done all of her steps up to like 9 or 10 or whatever. And when she got me, because I guess her sponsor had moved away, I didn't make her go backwards. But there were some things that she hadn't really dealt with on her fourth. So we kind of did a little mini fourth all over again, but then I made her do 4, 5, 6, you know, all in order. But usually my sponsees don't stick around long enough to get past step 3, so I don't have that problem.
Except you had Wonder Girl.
Wonder Girl, yeah. She blasted up to step 9 in like a month. I mean, she was extremely highly motivated.
Like, can you write this? And she'd like come back later the day or the next day with like this huge amount of writing. Here you go.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh.
She was very focused because she said, I just want to do whatever I have to do because I don't want to feel like this anymore.
That's awesome.
No, I understand that, but like, how is she still sober?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah. That discounts everything I was about to say. We can end the show now.
Well, the 90-day wonder.
Yes.
Wonder. Well, we had a guy. We had a guy used to go to our Tuesday night meeting. This guy was doing everything right and just blasting through the steps. This guy's name was. I shouldn't say his name.
No.
But he has a great name.
Yeah.
Because when you say his first and last name together, it actually makes a word, which is a cool word.
Mike Hunt.
No. Anyway.
Michael Hunt. Yes.
Yes.
It's still a family show.
Oh, sorry.
Even though it's on the internet. But he, and I looked at him, I said, God, you're really worrying me, man. And he goes, why? And I'm like, because you're doing everything so perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I just want you to be careful. And then we didn't see him for like he was still around for a couple more weeks or 3 more weeks. Then all of a sudden we didn't see him around for a while. He comes back in, takes a newcomer chip, and he goes, yeah, I went out. Now he's got long-term sobriety again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Well.
Slow it down.
Slow rider.
The guy? Yeah, slow it down.
So Hamza.
Yes.
They're not hearing his question. They're only hearing your answer.
What's his question? What was his answer? That was his question. What's his answer?
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Slowbriety.
Slowbriety, exactly.
Slowbriety. So, Hamza, what are your final words on the one day at a time?
One day at a time is just a method to break down the larger goal. It's not something to take you away from living your life.
Shelley?
I think, as was pointed out by a peanut gallery member a little while ago, one day at a time can be an extremely useful tool in the first 30 days, 60 days, whatever, when you're first starting out, because you're overwhelmed. You can't think past 24 hours. But after you've got your foot in the door and you've been doing some work and life is improving and your mental state is improving, I think that it can become dangerous to one day at a time yourself into stagnation.
Exactly.
So you need to watch out for that.
Well, my final words on the subject is if you keep one foot in yesterday and one foot in tomorrow, you're in a perfect position to crap all over today.
Damn.
Shelly, who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Awesome. So, Hamza, people are listening to the show.
And we appreciate it. So if you'll do us a favor, go to our recovery101.com, .net, and like us and join podcasts from there and do everything from there. It's a lot better from there. And that's pretty much all.
It's a lot better from there.
Yeah, but you're doing better than you did last time. You're learning fast. Yeah. Better watch out, Mark.
The next skit's for you, right?
You can like, you can follow, you can comment. You can add us to your Rockin' Recovery 101 playlist because, you know, no party is complete without a playlist full of Recovery 101
shows. Oh, yeah.
Because when the dance section comes up, you know what you get? Now, if you are Facebook friendly, it's real easy to join Podomatic. You can log in with your Facebook account. And if you're already logged into Facebook, it's like super fast. You click log in with Facebook and it just logs you in. You're there. You're already done. You're already signed up. They will. The only thing you'll get from them is when we put up a new show or any other podcast you follow, they'll send you an email that says, "Hey, there's a new show." If you are Facebook friendly, we'd like you to like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you are want to be a little more anonymous, you can join the Recovery 101 group. That is a closed group. But you can ask to join it. And if you ask, ye shall receive. If you spam, ye shall get the boot. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. Interestingly enough, if you go to last30days.com, it'll actually take you to our site as well. I think last30days.net as well, just in case you're in your last 30 days. And let's see. Oh, we've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. And youtube.com/recovery101 rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelley! Who's the lead out music by?
Electra.
Electra, everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
Hamza, that's you now.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Take care of you.
Child, or a misfit for abuse. I'm not a wild child, or a sorry excuse. I'm not a wannabe. I am what you see. I'm just living down the road till I can find me. I'm not a flower child, but I believe in peace. I'm not conservative. I practice what I preach. I'm not a wannabe. I am what you see. I'm just living down the road till I can find. Or a charity case. I'm not a rich kid. I ran my own race. Don't give me sympathy. I can hold my own. I'm just living down the road till I can find me. I'm not a dreamer. I stand on my feet. I'm not a lost cause. I fight for what you see. I'm not a user. I give and take. I'm just living down the road till I can find.
reputation's real. I'm not fake. Let me be.